Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Sits smack dab in the middle of their championship series, and teams are already firing managers and talking about who they're going to hire. There's really not much to talk about with the Pirates, except what? International signings? Craig, what do we got this week?
Yeah, I was saying, as soon as we recorded, that's when all news breaks, Chris. Like, it's like, okay, you want to record on Monday night, Tuesday night, it doesn't matter. It's like within like 5 hours of the show being done.
We couldn't do it on our normal night. My back got thrown out over the weekend. And then after that was over, the basement flooded. So down here at the bar, the 9-foot homemade oak bar for Bucks in the Basement, the basement flooded. The sump pump didn't turn itself on. I don't know why. The only kid that was down here is my oblivious one. Actually, both sons are oblivious, but this is the more of the two oblivious sons that I have. My daughter comes down the stairs and goes, wow, it really stinks down here, and calls me down. At least I have a daughter, because the boys would have just sat there and let the water wash over them. They would have just slowly drowned while they watched TV or played video games or been electrocuted as the cord sat in water, because the back room, which is like the unfinished part of the basement, that was full of water. And the finished side, which is a little higher up in terms of like the leveling of the basement, was just starting to get water that had gone underneath the TV stand and come out and surrounded the big TV, and they're sitting there, and the place stinks, and there's a lake forming right in front of them, and they don't notice it, and then now I come down the stairs, I'm like, what the heck, and I open up the door, and I'm wading through water. I had to put on shoes, like, right, I looked at it, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go put on some boots or something, so I grab some boots, I put them on, I walk in there, and I'm like, what the hell is wrong here, and I touch the pipe for the sump pump, and immediately the thing kicks on, drains all the water. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So luckily it was working. It worked, and it hasn't failed since. I got a guy coming over tomorrow, and I'm like, just replace it. I'm not even going to play around with that. What happens if I'm gone for a weekend and the thing goes out on me? So I'm like, obviously, I mean, it's not doing very well.
The whole basement's done. The show's over.
Right. We're not having that happen. So I'm like, well, we're just going to get a new one. But I spent most of last night mopping, and I got the dehumidifier running down here and, you know, cleaning the floors and everything else like that. So yeah, there was not going to be a regularly scheduled Bucks in the Basement, especially when it's the off season and it's not even the end of the playoffs yet. So you can't do an awful lot of moves. You can do some moves, but you're not able to do everything that you want to do yet. So I figured one extra day wouldn't kill anybody. Now the White Sox money, international signing pool bonus money that they got from the White Sox for Jerrod Dyson, that was spent already, right? Who'd they spend that on again?
They spent it on a right-handed prospect and an outfielder from down in, like, from the, like, Dominican, Venezuela, like. But then during that, there was also, like, two little minor moves where we sent a couple of our minor leaguers to some teams for some money. And, you know, Ben Cherington puts the money together and says, okay, we got enough money to go get Puyu Chen, which it makes you laugh. I hate to say it because I'm a little kid. It's like Puyu.
Puyu is funny. Okay. Yeah, just, I mean, if his name was Puyu Smith, it would still be funny. It's not just because, yeah. This is more because his name is Puyu. All right. And we're children. Yeah. And, you know, and basically children watch. Baseball's a child's game played by men. And I'm pretty sure there'll be players on his own team. They'll be like, "What? What's your name?" Like, that'll just be a funny thing. And I'm sure he's good-natured about it. He better be.
Yeah. And the thing about him is he was the last prospect on the Fangraphs Top 40 International Prospects from, like, the 2019-2020 international signing class, which actually ends. We're recording here today on the 13th. This will probably come out on the 14th. That ends on the 15th.
Right. So it's like, we got to sign somebody. We got this money or the money goes away. And Puyu was like, I'm in.
Yeah. And so like he's, and he got signed to like, what I saw was a pretty decent chunk of change. It was, he signed for like $1.25 million. It was one of those small, like rinky dink. I hate to say like the 10,000s or below that don't count. Like, this is a guy that, you know, people had ranked like pretty high enough that they were like, you know what, if we want to get him before he maybe sneaks into like the next signing part where people have a little bit more money, let's get some money together and let's go get this guy. I mean, we talked about this before, Chris. These are the types of moves that the Pirates need to make when they're rebuilding, because I mean, from what I understand about this guy, he's got a pretty decent fastball, pretty decent like secondary pitch. And he pitched in, it was like the Chinese Taipei, like U18 World Cup or something. And the dude's just striking out people left and right. So it's a good signing. It's a good move. And it's one of those things that kind of will probably fly under the radar for the casual Pirates fan, who's obviously probably not even paying attention anymore. When they come back and they come into spring training, and, you know, Puyu takes the mound, like, in relief in a spring training game.
Is his name Puyu or is it Poyu? Because now I'm looking and it's P-O. Are you sure you're pronouncing it right?
Well, Puyu.
It looks like Poyu.
Well, it could,
did you make up a funny name because you thought it'd be funny on the show?
No, I'm looking here and I call it, even the P-O.
Right.
I kind of just gave it like a little accent. Like my little accent.
You gave it a little accent?
I gave it a little accent. Poyu. Poyu.
Oh my God. The guy's name probably isn't even Poyu. It's probably Poyu.
Yeah.
That's still funny. All right. So the good news is that they went out and signed him. It makes sense. 120 or 1.25 million. And the reason it does is because that money goes away. So you're not allowed to spend that money on any international guys once you hit the deadline. So he might not even have been their first choice. They might have sat there and said, well, we want so-and-so. We got 1.25 left. And the guy was like, not enough. And then Poyu was like, yeah, I'll take 1.25 mil. So, or they might have said, well, we can get these two guys and it equals up to 1.25, or we can get Poyu. And he's like, yeah, I'm in. So that's how that decision-making process probably works the last few days before you get to the deadline. But the Pirates went out and signed a ton of guys, international free agent signings. And this is how you start to build in a rebuild. Ben Cherington won't call it a rebuild, but this is rebuild type stuff. Number one overall draft pick, terrible team. You don't really owe anybody anything. The only guy that actually is on your roster next year that you're committed to is Polanco. That's it. Or it's somebody that's still on their pre-arb deal. So this is how you build flexibility. Then you build up your base. These guys, what you're doing is you're taking as many chances as you can. It'd be like walking into a casino and you could sit there and say, okay, there's two different jackpots. There's the jackpot where I have to pay $20 coins, and the jackpot's still the exact same as the one that's got the nickel coins. And you're like, I got many more nickels than I have the $20 chips. And so you throw all your nickels in there and you hope you could find one jackpot or maybe two players in there. And that's how this whole thing works right now. And you do that during an international signing pool period. You do this when you're trying to rebuild. You do this when you're trying to fix your minor league system. You cast a wide net, grab a lot of fish, and hope a couple of them are keepers. And that's really what you're trying to do right now.
Yeah, and the big thing about this is that people will say, oh yeah, well, they got money back, so that's why they went out and spent it. No, Ben Cherington has to get assurance from Bob Nutting to be able to spend this money. Like this, they didn't get cash back. They got ability to spend the cash back.
Right.
So he has to go to him and say, hey, we like this guy. We have this space left. Can we go spend it? Technically, Bob Nutting could have said, 1.25 million. We're going to save that till next year or whatever.
That's
exactly
what he could have done. Because the money, the international pool money that came from the Dyson deal was not a check written by the White Sox to the Pirates. It was, you are allowed to spend this much of our pool money on yourself. This virtual money that doesn't exist, but it's still coming out of your pocket, not ours.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's what like people like don't understand about this type of stuff. And for us to pretty much spend our, you know, bonus pool space that we had and then go out and make trades to get more was just basically saying we are looking to spend more than we normally would, like you said, Chris, to basically say, hey, let's take a couple more shots with a couple more of these guys that were left sitting there. To me, that's a move in the right direction. That's not something that is normally seen from the Pirates. It's not something that, I mean, I know they've made some, you know, international splashes at times, but I mean, since Ben Cherington's got in there, it's like, we're going to go out and sign, you know, all these guys that at this point in time, you know, Neil Huntington would have been sitting on his thumbs and would have said, okay, we're waiting for arbitration guys. We're waiting for, you know, our option guys. No, Ben Cherington's still out there like wheeling and dealing and saying, how can we get, you know, at least one more top prospect in here to try to help out the future of this team? I mean, that's something that I absolutely love. And like you said, Chris, we got the number one pick coming up, and that's all the rage on Pirates Twitter right now. Gary and myself were out there, you know, schmoozing the people, and by schmoozing them, we were telling them, why are we having to make our decision now, and being told we were wrong because Kumar Rocker is the second coming of Jesus. And
yeah, but you don't need to make your decision right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You can sit back and wait. I mean, you get to watch everybody play again before the draft in June of next year. There might be somebody who comes out during their college baseball season, or a high school player that is like a phenom, and everything changes. The idea that you already know who your draft pick is insane. That's that's crazy talk. You can have a few guys that you're watching. Like, what you have to look at right now is this Kumar Rocker and about four or five other names that you're like, let's see what they do coming up this year. What the Pirates do now, if they're a smart organization, is they don't pick who it is now. They look at the list and they go, okay, we're going to look at that. Plus, we're going to keep our eyes open for somebody that all of a sudden grows into a body that they hadn't grown into yet and becomes a star in this next year of their development. You know, you're always hearing about like college sophomores, college juniors, college seniors. Well, some of those guys were freshmen, you know? Some of those guys didn't have the body yet. You might have a high school senior this year who as a junior was 40 pounds less and hadn't built any muscle. And now all of a sudden the guy's going to go out and the scouts who are watching him are going to say, oh yeah, much different player. This is the next Luis Robert. This is the next Kyle Lewis. This is the next prospect that's going to come up and light the world on fire a couple of years from now when they finally make it through the minor league system. You cannot say, this is the guy, that's the only guy I want, and I'm just going to sit back patiently and wait now for 8 months and ignore everything else. That's crazy talk.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people are doing, Chris. And it's just this.
You got to stop following. You know, here's the thing. You got to stop following stupid people. You see, like when you're running the Twitter account for Bucks in the Basement or just using your own Twitter account, you don't need to follow everybody. You know, just like if they're dumb, unfollow them. If they have bad opinions, stop following them. If you don't want to stop following them for some strange reason, mute them. But why do you give yourself this kind of aggravation? I don't understand why you would do that to yourself.
I don't know. It didn't really aggravate me today. And I even told Gary, I was pretty proud of myself. I didn't like lose it on anybody or anything today. I was actually a pretty happy Twitter guy. And I was just basically, my big thing is, you know what? We'll agree to disagree. We can, and my thing at the end of all these conversations is, we can revisit this in about 7 or 8 months when the college baseball season is over. And God willing, we will have college baseball in the spring. We'll be able to watch it the whole way through the World Series. They've announced that they're doing like the draft during the Futures game, during the All-Star break. So we get the whole way till July to kind of think about this stuff. And yeah, it's fun to talk about now. You know what? You want to celebrate. We got the first pick. You know what? It's better than having, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8. Let's celebrate it. But don't make me or Gary or anybody else pick. And if you give your pick already, to me, that's like a losing battle. That's just a losing battle right now.
You know, I got to tell you something, man. You're talking about your Twitter battles. I know you brought it up before. I finally went to the Bucks in the Basement Twitter page, and all I'm doing is just looking at your tweets and replies so I can see what you're saying to people. You're way too into these arguments. Like, you got mad. Like, here, let's just go through some of these. Let's just go. I want to help you. Shows up 24 hours later. There's not very much going on. Unless, of course, the Pirates decide all of a sudden that they want to go get a guy who built one team that went to the World Series, built another team that is now going to be a contender for one for the next 5 years, and just became a manager that's available. And I'm talking about the guy who was with the Cubs until Joe Maddon took over and took him to the World Series with the White Sox and got fired just yesterday. Was it yesterday? Got fired yesterday or 2 days ago from the White Sox, Rick Renteria, who's really good at getting rosters put together during rebuilds. I mean, if the Pirates should at least, like, just take a look. I mean, it's all the guy does. He just walks in and helps him build rosters.
And then mutually parts ways.
How do you do that? I would like you to fire me. We were thinking about firing you. Like, how does that work? Mutually agreed to part ways.
Well, that's like, I mean, Chris, you've been let go from a job before. Haven't you walked in there and they're like, we're eliminating your position? That's pretty much what I put it out. It's exact same thing.
But they didn't eliminate the managerial position.
I know, but they can lie. They're like, we eliminated your seat. We're moving the seat over. Who knows? I don't know what they're talking. But yeah, it's just like mutually parting ways. And I don't. It doesn't really save face for anybody because it makes the White Sox look like they're not sure about what they want to do. And it makes Renteria look a little bit like that he would leave a team that just went to the playoffs.
Right, exactly. It doesn't make any sense. They did that because they're going to get AJ Hinch the day after his suspension ends. I guarantee it. Anyway, Pittsburgh Pirates guru. Now, this is somebody you were arguing with today. All right, less than 1,000 followers. And he was complaining that John Delacarry, Larry Broadway, and Kevin Graves all wanted the Chris Archer trade and are still employed by the team. So he was angry about that. And I love the Bucks in the Basement reply. Blatantly false. With capital B and capital F. I mean, it's brilliant. It is well documented that GMNH. Give me, what does that mean again?
That's General Manager Neil Huntington.
Is that how you refer to him, as GMNH in capital letters?
Yeah, and that's how I refer to GMBC as well. You got to say, when you're tweeting, Chris, you got to.
You're a crazy person. I think you should be put in Twitter jail. Wanted Archer on the Pirates from the time he arrived. Archer was also drafted by the Indians when GMNH was there in 2006. You used the initials twice. You still had plenty of characters left.
I didn't know how many characters. I could have went on. I was going to ramble a little bit more.
Are you lonely? Is that why you get into these Twitter arguments?
No, I think I usually get into the Twitter arguments between around like 4 and 5 o'clock when I don't really feel like actually working anymore.
Yeah, that's about the time that happened. All right, I see that. I see that. Okay, here we go. Andrew Filippone.
Oh, yeah, Pony. Yeah.
He wrote, in 2012, the Pirates picked Walker Buehler in the 14th round. He went back to school. In 2015, the Pirates passed on Buehler and picked Kevin Newman with the 19th pick, and Buehler went 24th. I'm so happy those people aren't running the Pirates anymore. And you wrote, he did not go back to school. He went to Vanderbilt. Now, he did go back into his schooling. It's almost like you just want to fight with people.
No, I just, my
you wanted him to say went to college instead of went back to school?
Yeah, I mean, because it made it
now
seem like.
Now you're just splitting hairs to argue with people. Why don't you like this guy?
No, it's not that I don't like this guy. I wasn't splitting hairs. A lot of people have been saying that if we try to sign like Jack Leiter, if we try to sign Kumar Rocker with the first overall pick, they're going to go back to school. This guy was drafted, Walker Buehler, everybody knows who he is now, but he was drafted out of high school. He was drafted in something like the 20th round or whatever. Wasn't the kind of money he wanted. He went to Vanderbilt and he got picked in the first round. So it's just basically pointing out that he didn't go back to school. He actually chose to go to Vanderbilt. Like, he actually chose to go to college. Like, it's almost like you see it happen a lot of times within the Pittsburgh media that they will let people fill in their own, like, narrative to the end of the story. And it's just like, well, he went back to school. And somebody will be like, Well, Rocker or Leiter could go back to school because, look, Walker Buehler did it. Well, Walker Buehler, it's what a lot of call, like, there was a couple of, like, high-end talent guys from high school last year that basically pulled themselves out of the draft and ended up going to, you know, the college that they had committed to. I mean, you can look up these guys. It'll say, like, commit to wherever. So my thing was is that I'm just getting frustrated with that because any time that, like, because I had even posted, Chris is probably going to bring this up, that I posted while Walker Buehler was pitching, and I was like, that wasn't great for the Pirates, like, whatever, 14th round pick in 2012. Or because he decided to go back to, but I'm just getting tired of everybody tying everything to the Pirates. Like, I was getting direct messages on Twitter, like, how do you feel about, you know, Gerrit Cole going up against Tyler Glass now with Austin Meadows in the game? And I just, like, well, Tyler Glass now kind of sucked for us, and Gerrit Cole wasn't going to stay, and I kind of miss Austin Meadows. Like, I don't know what you want me to say. I just want to sit down and watch a baseball game. I don't want to talk about the problems of the past, like, regime. I just don't want to.
All right, so then there was another Twitter thing that I found. I love this. We should make this like a normal thing where every once in a while there's not a lot of Pirates news, and I just pick apart your Twitter beefs because these are great. So Gary Morgan writes for Inside Bucks Baseman, right?
Yeah, that's our boy.
Inside the Bucks Baseman. All right. So he wrote a tweet. This is what started it. If you call yourself a sports guy and believe Kumar Rocker will make his MLB debut in 2025, I hope you were trying to be funny. If not, you're horribly badly informed. Not just badly or horribly, you're horribly badly. He's a writer. Sure, injury could happen, but this is a Cole-level development clock. Bucks in the Basement finally gets in on this thing, which is interesting. And first you get into a conversation with a guy back and forth who's doing the same stupid thing you do. He's referring to the current GM as GMBC instead of just Charrington or Ben Charrington. Or GM Ben Charrington, or Cherry Berry, GMBC. So you've obviously, this is a plague spreading across Pirates Twitter. But
yeah,
then you get into a person who I would believe this is a fake name, Chuck Roast. I get it. And he's actually, it looks like, he at least claims to be a reverend because it's at Reverend Jim 4. Okay. Now, first off, the person you now get into an argument with is somebody with 271 followers, but follows 794, which means for every four people he follows, only one follows back. That's how little his opinion matters. And yet you take time out of your day to get into a back and forth with this guy. This is your sickness, Craig. He writes, there isn't in the draft just an elite, can't-miss generational talent starting pitcher. Not sure where you're all missing this from. And you wrote, as I've said before, experts are saying that Rocker only has two developed pitches and is not as polished as Strasburg, Cold, etc. Also has been noted he has issues with command. I don't see how he's can't miss. Could he be great? Yes. Does he have talent? Yes. Now, you made your point. But the problem is, the guy with one follow back for every four people he follows says, I mean, seriously, why would you even get in an argument with this guy? Nobody's reading his tweets. Like, that's what I'm trying to point out here. He's got a bunch of Russian bots and a couple of friends and his mom. Not the experts I listen to. Rocker stuff is as good or better than Cole and Strasburg. His slider is better than both of them. Fastball 98 to 100 miles an hour. Change up developing. Listening to the Jim Callis interview, and it's good. Okay. And you said you listened to it. He talks about his potential. You go through this whole thing. But you go back and forth with this guy. Let me see here. One, two, three, four, five different times. In fact, you go back and forth with them to the point where Jonathan Mayo gets involved because he gets pulled into this stupidity. I mean, like, why did you let Chuck Roast, some guy, get you pulled into a 45-minute to an hour and a half back and forth on Twitter? You know it took that long. Why did you do that?
I have no excuse.
Actually looking at the timeline, and some of these comments are 7 hours ago, some of them are 6 hours ago, and some of them are 5 hours ago, which means this conversation that you poured, You pulled poor Jonathan Mayo, who's got a verified checkmark from MLB.com and MLB Pipeline, into an idiot conversation that lasted 3 hours on Twitter.
I'm sorry, Jonathan.
You need a Twitter break. I'm telling you right now, you need a Twitter timeout. You need to have your Twitter account taken from you for like 3 days. We need to sit down and talk about like who we respond to and who we don't. Like, it's okay to not respond to everybody. The first rule, if the person has more than twice the people that they're following, the people that follow them, there's no reason to get into an argument with them. Because whatever they say, nobody read it. Nobody read it, Craig. Nobody read it. They could say that you wear purple underpants, okay, and walk around with a glow-in-the-dark horn on your head every other Friday, worshiping the moon god, and it wouldn't matter. And if you do that, and it's true, fine, but I'm guessing that's not what you do. But it wouldn't matter because nobody's reading it. So why are you getting into these arguments with people? You had a valid point. Whatever he spews out of his mouth after that, or types because he's got nothing else to do, you should have just ignored it.
And here's the thing, is I didn't even tag Jonathan Mayo in it. I just mentioned Jonathan Mayo's name and was referring to an article that he was in.
So now I'm wondering about Mayo, because like that means he has the time to just look for his name, even if he wasn't tagged. So the next conversation I'm going to have is going to be with Jonathan Mayo. I'm going to have you and Jonathan Mayo both need to have a nice, calm sit down about who we talk to on Twitter and who we ignore.
Maybe he felt bad for me. I don't know.
I feel bad for you right now. I just noticed you had a back and forth Twitter argument with this guy by the name of Chuck Roast for nearly 3 hours.
Yeah, that's my life. I need to get out of the house more. When's COVID over again? I'm losing my mind here, guys.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say.